Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, April 28th. I'm irritated, but I can't show it to you guys. So, hi, Kelsey.
Hey, I'm back.
Yes, welcome back. Boy, we missed you.
Aww.
It's been almost a week, right, since you left?
Something like that, yeah.
When did you leave? Friday, was it? Or Thursday? I don't even remember.
No, anymore. I came to the show Friday.
You were here Friday.
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
And then I just left
and then
Friday.
You left. Okay. And then, so you went back home and there was a wedding, right?
There was.
How was the wedding?
Oh my gosh. She was a beautiful bride.
Really? Who was it?
My cousin, Lauren.
Oh, your cousin?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And her new husband, Justin, they tied the knot. So yeah, it was a
blast. Was it a big deal? Like a big wedding?
It was, yeah. Mm. It was at the Lutheran Concordia Church in San Antonio, which is huge and beautiful. It's
really?
Where they've gone forever. And yeah, and then, you know, the reception was out in Helotes, a little town right near San Antonio. And it was just a lot of fun.
I'm sure.
It was a side of the family that we actually don't get to see much because it's my dad's side.
Oh, okay.
We do a lot with my mom's side, but, you know, we saw some relatives we hadn't seen in a while. So it was great.
Nice. Very cool. We wish them all the best. And
I know. Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. You spend that kind of money on a wedding. You want it to last, right?
I know. They will. They're perfectly suited for each other.
Really? How long have they been together?
You know, I'm not actually sure how long they've dated. It's been a good minute, though. It's been a couple years at least, yeah. Mm. So, anyways, good. they are into the same things and from similar families. So, yeah, I think they're going to be great.
Very cool. Well, I married for the first time when we had similar families. That was the wrong reason to marry.
Yeah.
So,
so
you got to be careful there.
I think they're in love, too. But
yeah, that helps.
It's just a perk.
Yeah. Well, nice to have you back.
Thank you.
Your family okay? Everybody's okay?
Yes.
Awesome.
A little family emergency, but everyone's doing better now.
Good. So. Well, you're smiling and laughing, and that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. How was the flight? Was it pretty good?
You know, it was great, and the craziest thing happened. So I was in the airport, and I hear Kelsey, and I'm like, oh, God, that's never a good sign, right? I'm like, who could this possibly be? And turns out my friend Austin, who I went to high school with, is on the same flight to LA as me.
Are you serious?
It was bizarre.
And you'd never seen him before since school?
Since school, yeah. I mean, every now and then you'll run into someone when you're in town. But yeah, I hadn't seen him in ages. And it was bizarre. His girlfriend Allison lives out here. And so he was flying to see her. And it was, it was crazy.
Wow.
So we were like, who's got the first drink on the plane? Because we were just having so much fun. It made the flight really enjoyable. So it was kind of a crazy coincidence.
Very nice. Yeah. So it made it enjoyable to fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I don't enjoy flying. You know, it used to be fun, but now not anymore. You know, the seats are cramped.
Yeah. I usually try to just conk out and sleep.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the best way.
But.
Yeah.
But
you have to drink first, right?
But see, that's the thing with me. It's it's associated with excitement. So if I start drinking, then I don't want to just drink one and go to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I could, I guess, but my body doesn't respond like
that. Yeah, it wants to party.
Yeah, I know. I know. So it just depends. But we kept it under control.
Very cool. In a few minutes, we're going to bring in our guest who's sitting here with us, a special guest, and it's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, it is.
So, a couple things. There's a headline about Prince had opioids or something. Do you know?
Okay, I was following this story when I was in Texas.
Right.
And it's kind of controversial.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are saying no. He lived a really healthy lifestyle. He wasn't on any type of drugs. But then this anonymous drug dealer is coming out saying that Prince bought an exorbitant amount of drugs from him and. Basically, the reason behind it was that he had massive stage fright and he had to have the drugs to perform. So I don't know. I mean, just from from my standpoint, obviously, I don't know. But looking at him, he didn't look like a drug addict. Mm. I mean, you know, usually they have big bags under the eyes.
But you hadn't seen him lately, right? Have you seen him lately?
No, not lately.
We don't know. So
we don't know. Maybe it was something that happened more recently. But this guy's claiming that it had been going on for years. Wow. So I don't know.
Well, we'll see what happens. Yeah, but I guess people suspected from the beginning something was amiss there, you know?
Well, he was an epileptic.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's possible to, you know, have died of a seizure. So, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. But it's pretty pretty worrisome, you know. I mean, too many people are dying of drugs, you know, and it's you have to ask yourself what's going on, you know. What does fame and money do to people, you know, that it screws them up so much that they can't deal with it? But I mean, I can imagine, you know, if I had like a lot of money suddenly or a lot of fame, I would imagine it would affect me one way or another. I don't know in what way it would,
sure,
whether it be negative or positive, but at the same time, I don't think people are equipped to handle that kind of attention.
Right. And, you know, I believe it was one of the late night comedians who said one time that, you know, I think it might have been Jay Leno. He said, you know, money only makes you happy if you're happy to begin with.
Which is so true.
You know, you have to have that good foundation and be a generally content person.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you'll probably be able to, like, handle it.
Yeah.
But if you have, like, unresolved issues from the start, which everybody does, you know, right, so you have to resolve them. And if you don't, then having a lot of money and a lot of fame could exacerbate the problem,
I think. Could, you know. And plus, they don't have a normal life either, you know. Maybe they just long for a normal life, you know, like Michael Jackson and Prince. I mean, they've been in the public eye since they remember themselves, I'm sure, you know. So it's as though, you know, maybe sometimes you just want to go to the store and not be bothered and things like that, you know. And they don't get that, you know. Plus, everybody wants to be around you. You don't know who's genuine, who wants you for you, and who wants you for what you have.
Of course.
You know, and all these things together, and, you know, and all the attention, and you suddenly live in a glass house. Everybody knows what you're doing. Everybody knows everything about you. I think people can't handle that very well. Right. You know, that's why you have the Lindsay Lohan and the Britney Spears and all these people that act out, you know?
Yeah. I understand, but yes, you're very right. And I think particularly in like the Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears case, you know, it's the problems that pretty much everybody goes through at some point. Theirs is just in the spotlight.
Yeah, right.
You know?
That's true.
Not that everyone goes through a mental breakdown, but... I think a lot of it, too, is the nature of the beast, right? So people who are in the entertainment industry are typically type A personalities and very outgoing and long for approval. So that combined with the fame and the money and everything.
It just sort of amplifies it, whatever's going on.
Amplifies it,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. That's my thought behind it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It makes total sense. I'll subscribe to that. What the hell, you know? A couple of other things. Did you see that Ted Cruz picked Carly Fiorina to be his running mate as though he's going to run?
Oh, right? My God.
Yeah. Like, if he wins the nomination, then she will be his thing. And it's like, come on, man. You're not even close, you know? Get the hell out of here, you know?
I know.
So it seems to be pretty... pretty certain that it's Trump and Hillary, which I think most people have predicted, you know.
Right.
So it's going to be an interesting election. What can I say, you know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's going to be funny.
I mean, Trump, like, he is just so funny. I've just been watching all of these.
He kind of grows on you, right?
I mean, as a person, he's funny, but he's still an adolescent child in his remarks and things. I mean, he was...
In the way he talks, too. You know, his language is not very, like, rich.
I know. He was... I know. It's the irony. He was, like, talking about how Ted Cruz eats so disgustingly. And, you know, people were laughing and everything. And I just found it, like, very tacky.
Yeah.
Like, ha-ha, okay, you know, let's move on and talk about something important. But I don't know. Maybe that's his... Schick,
yeah, maybe. You know? Yeah, maybe that's what people expect of him. You know, so
they do. So they do. I personally cannot see him as president. I think it would be a disaster.
You and the rest of the country, right?
Right. Yeah. But how is he doing so well, though, then? Yeah. I mean, you think that everyone thinks the same.
Right.
And people make fun of him, but then secretly people are voting
secretly,
for him.
Secretly. There you go. That's the key. People are embarrassed to admit that they're voting
for him. I know.
So
I'm like, what does this guy have that is, you know, that everybody's so enthralled with?
I just think, and, you know, it's been talked to death and stuff in the media, but I think it is anger at the current administration, maybe the previous one too, with Bush and stuff. And, you know, people are saying, the hell with this. We want something else.
I mean,
you know?
We've seen it time and time again throughout history, you know.
Right. And it always bounces back and forth. Democrat, Republican.
Right.
Because people want something new and then they get tired of it. They want the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so if you look back the past few decades, it's always been Democrat, Republican. So we'll see. You know, if it keeps going, then Trump will win. But I don't know if that's the case. If that's going to be the case, so we'll see.
Which one is the lesser of two evils?
Yeah, right.
We have to figure out.
It seems like that's always what the elections come down to, man.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the, you know, the lesser evil? Which sucks, man. I'm telling you,
it does.
Yeah. So anyway, let's bring in our guest here, who's sitting here patiently, and we're joined by Jennifer Hill. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Sam.
Welcome
Thank
to
you
the
so
show.
Much.
Of course. Do you like to go by Jen or Jennifer?
Bob, doesn't really matter.
Bob, okay. We have Bob Hill on the show.
Makes life easier. People always combine my name, people I've known for 10, 20 years, and they make my name Jill. So somebody I've known for 20 years will call me Jill because my name is Jennifer
Hill. Wow.
Oh, that's cute.
So Bob Hill, I think, is a lot easier. No more confusion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Go for Jill, yeah. That's cool. Well, Jill is a nice name, too. But welcome to the show.
Yes, I'm happy to be here today.
So we've met a few weeks ago before you started the show here. So you have a show here on every Monday at 4 called Get Yourself the Job.
Yes, I'm very excited to do this. I did a lot of television work for many years before I even published my first book, and I accidentally wound up on Conan O'Brien in 2014.
Really?
And my book went viral. And since then, I was like, well, what do you do after you go viral on Conan? Where do you go from there?
Yeah.
And then I was invited to be on another one of your host shows on Damian Bertrand's show back in December. And he said, Jen, you're good at this. You should do your own podcast.
Whoa,
and that's how we find ourselves sitting here today.
Awesome. So are you involved in recruitment and getting jobs and things like this? What exactly do you do?
So I've owned J. Hill Staffing Services, which is a legal recruitment company in West Los Angeles, for about the last 6 years. And for a year before that, I had opened a career consulting company. And I somehow or another became considered a foremost expert in the field of job hunting and recruitment. I published my first book, Stop Hoping, Start Hunting, A Job Seeker's Guide to Getting Their Dream Job, in 2013. And I've been very fortunate. I've been interviewed on KTLA, Good Day LA, you know, Good Morning Chicago, all over the country. And
very
even
cool.
BBC. So.
Yeah.
Oh, how great.
Yeah. But I'm sure it's more than just fortunate. I'm sure you did the footwork, right? I mean, you don't just get on those shows because they invite you, right? I mean, don't you have to go there and make yourself known?
Well, I am very grateful to my PR guy, Richard Berman, who used to write for NBC Nightly News. And I tell people all the time, when you're looking for a job or looking to brand yourself, it's all about LinkedIn. And Richard Berman, my PR guy, way before I ever had any sort of notoriety, found me on LinkedIn and offered to rep me. And so everywhere I would travel, he'd say, Jen, I booked you on New Orleans Fox. I booked you on Chicago before I even had a book in place. So I owe a lot of my success to Richard Berman. So shout out to Rich in New York.
Right. But you did make the effort to be out there and meet people. You met him.
Exactly.
Right? And that's the thing. You got to be out there, right? It doesn't come to you.
It's intention. Whenever I'm teaching a job seeker how to be effective, whenever I'm talking to college students or even a business professionals about their future, I tell them that it's your intention times your action that equals your success in life. And so before I do anything, the first thing I do every morning when I wake up is I write down the top 10 things I'm most grateful for, followed by the intentions I'm intending with ease and effortlessly for that day. So even
every day you do that?
Every day.
Wow.
You can go back.
That would take me the whole day just to come up with the 10.
I know, me too. Oh, how interesting.
It sets your perspective. I think years ago, there was this wonderful person person on Instagram who had 365 days of gratitude. And so
I've heard of that.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. And so she was actually a mom who was a photographer. And she, like you were touching on earlier, it comes down to happiness. And so many of us, whether you have millions or billions in the bank or $5 in the bank, it has to do with who you're being in life and coming from a place of gratitude. So I completely agreed with what you said earlier, is it's if you are somebody who has millions or billions of dollars, be it Britney Spears, whoever it might be, Prince, it's like icing on shit, pardon my French. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have a foundation of happiness or gratitude or something to shift your perspective, whatever is built upon that will be like a house of cards and fall down
right.
if it doesn't have a strong foundation.
Right.
So I'm very lucky that I discovered this 365 Grateful Project, and I did that. I got to day 419 of gratitude, and I would share something each day that I was grateful for on my social media sites. And then that turned into just a private reflection for me every morning of what I'm grateful for. And I wake up every day and I just have so much to be thankful for. Last Friday night, I had a girls' weekend and we were up at our mountain house. And as we're up there, we're getting ready to make pizza. So it's a girls' night. We're all sitting around drinking wine. We're about to put the pizzas in the oven. Power went out.
Oh, no.
Talk about being grateful. I'm lucky. I live in Los Angeles. I don't have to worry about such things. Having no power, we had the most fun. We
really?
Barbecued the pizzas. We had a candlelit dinner. But it's something that you take for granted, having power, sure. having clean water. And so I consider myself to be very fortunate that I have a perspective of gratitude that lets me appreciate the wonderful things in my life every
day. That's true. You know, and you're looking at the positive things, and that's good. You know, have you always been like that?
No, I was a terrible bitch.
Really?
Do you want to hear a funny story?
Sure.
Yeah.
So people who know me now, I started recruiting God 12 years ago, fresh out of school. And I was the biggest B-I-T-C-H you would have ever met back in the day.
Wow.
And so years ago, there was a class called Landmark Education. Have you guys ever heard of that or done it?
I haven't.
So there's a class called Landmark Education. They do it all around the world. And at the time, my boyfriend, now husband, was gifted it by one of his good friends. He was new to the country. He was here from Canada working in, a very entry-level job, not super happy. And his friend bought him this class. Now, the thing with people who do this class, they get really excited. It's like, oh my God, you got to go. To do this thing.
Yeah, I've seen things like this before. They used to have EST here
exactly.
and stuff like
it's
that,
it's like a
right?
later version of EST.
Right. It's like, it's like a whole motivational workshop type of thing.
Self-help, trying to figure out what's missing. Like, so if you're not right. happy in your marriage or in your career, whatever it is, people look at what stops them and then they have breakthroughs.
Right. Well, and each program has their own philosophy
exactly.
of, an outlook on how you can do it.
That's
you know?
So great.
And the people become disciples of this thing, right?
Yeah, they become, and many people go on and create their own programs.
Oh, okay.
But the funny thing is, so imagine, I'm probably 22, 23 years old. So my boyfriend at the time takes this class and he's like, oh, you got to do this thing. Now, one thing you should know about my personality, you can't tell me I have to do something. You tell me I have to do something, I'm like, F you, I will never do it just out of principle.
Wow.
Not that I'm stubborn, but let's just say, thank God I've done some work since then. So for 8 months, he's trying to get me to do this program. And I'm like, just shut up about the stupid program. And finally, one day I decide to do it out of spite to prove it's a crock of BS.
Uh-huh.
So I show up to the class the first day. Kid you not, I have a shirt on that says Von Bitch on it. And so they're asking questions the first day of the class. They're like, does anybody have any questions for us? And I raise my hand and they're like, yes, ma'am, the girl in the Von Bitch shirt. And I'm like, how would you respond to the fact that this is a cult? Because that is a lot
of my God.
People say that because
people
get so excited. And they said, well, if it is a cult, it's the best damn cult you'll ever join. And I was furious. So I sat there seething the whole weekend. And people are getting breakthroughs in their life, huge breakthroughs, reuniting with their family, getting over years, decades of upset. So the end of the class comes, and this is to give you a context of what I was like before and after. And the woman comes up to me who's leading it, and she says, Jen, are you going to take the advanced class? And this is at the end. And I looked at her and I said, sweetheart, darling, it was stifling enough having sat in this room the last 3 days. Do you really think I would put myself through this hell again?
Well.
And it changed my life, though, because in that moment, I looked at my boyfriend, and he's like, oh, God, don't get me started. It took her 8 months just to do this one. And this is one of those pivotal moments that shifts your life. And I said to my boyfriend, this is an at-will relationship. You can leave anytime you want.
Oh, my God.
Right? And to my husband out there, shout out, I love you, baby. Thank you for putting up with me.
Well, obviously, you're with him still.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it worked out because what happened is, so after that, she looks at me and she says, can I be really straight with you? And I said, sure, darling, go ahead. You be really straight with me. And she said, you are one of the most powerful women I've ever met in my life, but you're like Godzilla walking through a city with this huge tail swinging behind you and knocking down buildings everywhere you go. But you want to know something, Jen? Those aren't buildings. Those are the people you're destroying in your life.
Wow.
And it was one of the most powerful things because I was some hot little piece of shit kid who thought that I didn't have any problems or issues. And when I went into my office the next day where I was working, I said, guys, have I ever been condescending or demeaning or bitchy to any of you? And the office went...
They start clapping.
Yeah, no. And the office went dead silent. Wow. You could hear a pin drop and then everybody erupted in laughter. And they're like, you're only the most condescending, demeaning, bitch we've ever met in our lives.
Whoa.
I have no idea how you're successful. So that was probably 10 years ago.
And that's so funny.
And so now I know that I have the power for dark and I have the power for light.
That's true. So you've had an awakening.
Thank God, because I was a bitch.
Wow. Why do you think you were? Were you like always feeling miserable? Or?
I think I was very bitter and resentful. As a kid, quite honestly, I never felt like I fit in because I was very... People don't believe it now when they meet me because I do speaking and I do all sorts of stuff and they think I'm very gregarious and outgoing. I honestly prefer to sit at home with a book. Yeah. I can throw a 300-person party for charity and then be just as happy sitting by a fireplace reading a book. Uh-huh. And so I didn't really gel with other kids because I was very introspective as a child.
I see, okay.
And I think it was bitterness, just trying to prove something to the world. And so every single day now, I meditate, I practice Kabbalah, I do chanting, I do everything I can to make sure I don't fall back.
Right. So you're doing the exact opposite of what you did before.
But it's choice.
Because you could totally relapse.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, I do. We call it the red mist. My husband and I call it the red mist. It's like the Hulk. You know how the Hulk gets all green?
Uh-huh.
When the red mist comes down. Like today, as I was mentioning to you guys when I came in, I apologized to the people at Women's Healthcare Associates because it's horrible. I apologize. This poor woman went to take my blood this morning, and I do not do well when people take my blood, let alone when they say oops. When you get an oops when somebody's trying to take your blood.
Okay, fair enough, though. Like, nobody wants to hear oops.
Yeah. Oops, blood goes everywhere, and I need to do that again. And then that's when the red mist settles in, and I literally can't see straight. Like, red mist comes in. And so I have to start, like, doing some chanting or doing some
Right, you gotta calm yourself down.
Yeah, but years ago, the differentiator, I will say, between now and then, before it would take me 5 years to get off of it. And now I can get over something in five minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Very cool. Very interesting. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Jennifer Hill. She's a host here on LA Talk Radio. The show is Get Yourself the Job. And that's mostly what we'll be talking about is really how people can get jobs and what they should do and all that stuff. And we'll talk more about that. But, you also have a staffing business, right? I mean,
yes.
I see. So this is the one you mentioned, the legal industry recruitment.
Yeah, so I do three or four different things. I own J. Hill Staffing Services, which is a legal staffing firm here in LA, and we're opening our Orange County office next year. And I'm very lucky. All of my clients are friends. So I pretty much only do business with people who I would be friends with. And so it makes life awesome. I just got back from the south of France with some of my clients last year. And we do legal staffing. So throughout Los Angeles, Orange County, and sometimes other areas. And then I do a lot of speaking. And the reason, quite honestly, that I started the podcast show is I love to give back. I'm very lucky. People offer to call and pay me for coaching, but because I own the staffing firm, time versus money, it's just not worth it. I couldn't coach everybody.
Right.
So why I created the show, Get Yourself the Job, is as a way of giving back to the community so people who might not be able to have access to me otherwise could call into the show, find out, interview coaching. One of my favorite things is I love reflecting back to people their own greatness. You see so many people who come into this world and they feel like they're not good enough to have a good job or they don't realize their value. And my sister gave me this beautiful bracelet years ago and it's my motto that I live by. And on this bracelet was a charm that said, let this be your greatest task. Let this be your greatest joy to give people back to themselves. even in their darkest hour, especially in that hour.
Mm. And to, oh, I love that.
Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. So thank you, Erica, for giving me that bracelet.
Yeah. That's an opposite of a fair weather friend. You know, I mean, that's definitely what you need, is someone that's loyal and dedicated. And, you know, and I mean, look, the thing is, everybody has bad moments.
Yes.
But you got to know how to overcome them. And I think that's what growing up and maturing is all about, you know? I sometimes see young kids and they get mad quickly and things like this. And I see myself in them when I was younger, you know? But so I've calmed down a lot in my later age. But the thing is, I still have it in me. Like some days, something will just ignite me. And it can be a small thing, you know?
It just happens.
Yeah, and it sets you off because it happens at the wrong time. And, you know, so, yeah, so I sometimes still have that. But then I have to remember, okay, calm down. And like you said, in a couple of minutes, it's gone. It doesn't stay with you. It doesn't have to stay with you.
It's about what I call proactive versus reactive living. And so I think if each one of us could take a proactive approach to everything, to our careers, to our relationships, to our interviews we go in, or to any situation that might activate us,
right.
If we can resist that reactive impulse and bring consciousness and awareness to it, it totally elevates you. And then, yes, you might get upset in the moment, but it allows you to dissipate that anger and that energy much faster rather than harboring anger and frustration, which studies have shown it leads to cancer and other things, and nobody should be holding on to that anger. I think there was a good quote that said, being angry at another person is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
That's so right. True. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. So, you know, we were talking about about being a strong woman and a bitch at the same time, right?
Now, were we talking about that?
Yeah, we were talking about that.
I'm going to deny it. I swear this did not happen.
I need to go back to that because I have to deal with that too. But no, how do you deal with someone like that? I mean, she described you as a Godzilla with a tail and stuff. I view this as like a bulldozer or something,
yes,
you know?
Right.
It's like nothing stands in your way, but yet people love you because you're strong, you're helping out other people, right? That's, I think, the nature of someone who's strong. They're not only like bitchy and bulldozing everybody in their way and stuff, but they have a lot of qualities as well.
That's a really great point you raised, Sam. What I will say is this. Back in the day when I was Godzilla, I didn't even realize the cost and impact of the buildings or the people I was destroying. I think that now, you know, here we are 12, 10 years later, I've learned how to harness my power in a way that doesn't harm other people. And I think that there's nothing more brilliant or beautiful than seeing a woman or a man who can harness their power without having to harm other people.
Like, right.
I think that you can have both. I literally tell people this all the time. It's not an either or world we live in. It's and both. So in my world, I can now harness being powerful and having every single human being who I come in contact with be empowered at the same time.
Exactly. You know, and you gotta, but that's the thing. Some people don't even understand what they're doing to other people.
Yeah.
They don't even realize they're wrong.
Ooh, do you want to know something for that?
Yeah.
So in that class years ago, I still check in with my own employees and I give other people this exercise to do too. If you want to check in with your community and see how you're viewed in the world, ask these six questions. What was your first impression of me when we met? Where have I disappointed you? Where have I surprised you? What can you count on me for? What can't you count on me for? And what's your impression of me now? And I think it's a really beautiful way to get some clarity and insight, because we can walk through our whole lives with blinders on.
Right,
and
not realizing how people see us, right?
Not realizing. And I used to have bitch face, so you know bitch face, right?
Yeah.
RBF, resting bitch face.
Resting bitch face. And I didn't know this, but when people first met me years ago, is that people used to be afraid of me because I would come across as really bitchy and intimidating. And that's even after I had done some work. So now I have to work on smiling and generating like a warmth when people come in. So resting bitch face doesn't scare people away.
That's good to realize
it's a constant work in progress, though.
Sure.
There you go. You know, and that's the thing, is that, you know, some people have to work harder at it.
Yes.
You know, I know with me, it's like my resting face is always look like I'm angry or something, people tell me. But I'm not, you know, that's just my face.
You were kind of scary the first time I saw you.
Really?
But now you look people like a teddy bear.
People always tell me that. You know, that's what I'm saying. But that's the way my face rests.
Like, this is my face. What do you right. want from me? Back off. It's like kind of like this force field that scares people. Yeah.
And it's immortalized in my 3D print that I did of me and stuff. So people are like, why didn't you smile? I'm like, you can't hold your smile for a few minutes, you know, when people are scanning you.
That's true.
And that's my face. What can I do? You know, I mean, you know, your face changes as you get older.
Just so you have to plaster that smile on your face. But they have done studies that, you know, even in interviews, for example, if you're doing a phone screen or even if you smile, there was a gentleman who came in my office yesterday who hadn't interviewed in 20 years and he had resting bitch face. And I was like, listen, when you smile, it just lights up your whole face. There's all these little idiosyncrasies. Some of us might have a hand twitch or do something, but the scary scowl and the sexy selfie are the two things that will kill you on social media. Whenever like employers Google people, I remember there was this receptionist one time. I Googled her because we Google people to see, oh, do I know this person?
Right.
And her face was literally like, and I was like, oh my gosh, you're going for a receptionist job? You realize that people might be like afraid of you if they saw that picture? But we don't know. It's like the scary scowl and the sexy selfie are the kiss of death in a job hunting situation. Whoa. So just keep that in mind.
Good to know.
So it's a sexy selfie. What was the first one?
And the scary scowl. The scary scowl.
Oh, the scary scowl. Okay. So you guys, and people don't understand, you know. I mean, social media, people really do Google and Facebook and Twitter, everybody, you know. And I mean, I do. I want to know who I'm dealing with when someone's applying for a job, you know. I don't want to be surprised. I don't want to, you know. And so, because you never know. I mean, you know, I got this like, look, I have nothing against this, but somebody sent me an email and I'm this and this and that. Okay, I'm looking at the resume. There's nothing right now. So I said, okay, well, let me Facebook this guy or Google him. I'm Googling him, and this is a guy that's I don't know what he was, like LGBT kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
But like dressing like a woman, but like drag.
Okay.
Drag, not just like a transgender or something, okay? I mean, this is clearly a man dressed in drag. And I'm like, do I really want to hire somebody like that? I don't know.
That's where it gets tricky, though. I will tell you from a labor standpoint, it is such a gray area. Because for me, not only do I own a company, I deal with temporary staff being out. I have to keep up with all the latest compliance.
That's true, right?
Googling people gets really sticky a lot of the time.
It does, right?
You're supposed to be an equal opportunity.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right. But you know what? It's bullshit. Nobody follows that.
Unfortunately, people don't follow it. And I do agree. Like years ago, an example I gave is I had a client of mine Google somebody, and it turned out that her political views were all over Twitter. And it was the antithesis of their views. So it depends on, like, yes, if you're a publicly traded company, you do have to be compliant with EEOC and fair employment. But at the same time, in this case where this woman was politically swayed one way or another, it's not going to be the right cultural match. That's the other thing you have to keep in mind.
Right.
It's always going for the politically correct, which ruins everybody, you know?
Yeah, I know. We have to be so PC nowadays.
I know. That's what I'm saying, you know? But the point is, this is only on the surface. I think everybody inside and everybody that I talk to who owns a business, they want to know who they're going to be interviewing before that person even shows up. Like, don't waste my time. So I think it's not up to all these compliance laws. It's up to the people to have responsibility for what they do out there.
For what they put out.
Right. And the consequences. You know, and people don't think of it. If you want, go by a different name publicly, right?
And
you
then can have a private name.
Exactly, and things like that, you know. But, but it's interesting that people don't really care, you know. But if you make it private, it's also not good because I'm having to wonder why you're keeping everything private, you know. So
it's a good show. You have to, and this is what one of the girls who was on my show, Cal McGuire, and I talked about a couple weeks back, is what does your brand online say about you? It's so important to know that if you Google yourself, what would a layperson think if they saw your pictures, if they saw this? And like you said, it's about your public persona. And my experience is, as long as you don't have pictures of yourself doing drugs or acting drunk, as my friend Cal had mentioned, if you're not drunk in the middle of a fountain with a bottle of champagne, you know, at midnight in Vegas, I think you're going to be okay. okay for the most part. But yeah, you do have to temper what is out there on you with social media. And that's just scraping the surface. There are so many things that go into whether or not an employer is going to hire you. One is your personal brand. Another one is how you present yourself. What is it, your body language? There are so many subtleties that can make or break you in an interview. And it's about understanding. It goes back to our original conversation. How do you occur for other people? Mm. And sometimes our friends won't be honest with us. Our friends lie to us and say, oh, you're great, you're this, you're that. And most of my friends know that they can call me and count on me to be direct with them, even if it's something that they might not want to hear. But so often we kind of sweep things under the rug as human beings to placate one another.
That's true, yeah. So Jennifer, tell people how they can find your book. The book is Stop Hoping, Start Hunting. And this is for people that are looking for jobs, careers, things like that. How can people find more information, contact you?
Okay, so StopHopingStartHunting.com is the website for the book, or you can go to JenniferKHill.com, and that's my website where you can find my staffing firm. You can also find links to over 200 free blog articles I've written, and also links for job seekers. I have a list of helpful links, where to look for jobs, sample resumes, etc. So I really try to create a business that's of service to the job hunting community.
Yeah. Wow, you got a lot of websites, because I have
I know.
I have two of them open here, and none of them are the ones you just mentioned.
Oh, wow. I have other websites.
Yeah, you have JHCCS, right?
JHCCS. That's the same one. JenniferKHill.com goes to that one. Oh. I just find JHCCS, sometimes people can't get the exact.
That's true.
Like C as in cat, C as in cat.
Yeah, no, that's true. So just change it all together.
So Google search Jennifer Hill. Luckily, I pull up on the first page.
There you go. Okay. And you also have getyourselfthejob.com.
Which is absolutely, yeah, that's the blog website.
That's a blog website.
Yes, and that has links to, that was the precursor to the book I wrote, is I had so many people that loved my blogs, and they said, Jen, please put this in book format for us.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's awesome.
That's very cool. And how often do you blog?
Well, I stopped. That's the funny thing is once I wrote the book, I got stopped, because I will tell you, writing a book is an endeavor I do not wish upon most people.
Really, it's hard, huh?
I tell people, start by blogging. I used to write about 3 or 4 blog articles a week. People would call in with issues, and then I would blog, and then I converted that all to a book. And now I'm working on another book about the metaphysical and the business world and bringing into spirituality into business and how critical it is what we say, how we interact with people, and how that shows up in our lives.
Wow, so you blogged for 5 years here, I see, right?
Yeah, wow. You know more. I didn't
spend
so long.
No, because I'm looking on the website. No, but I also figured you may have forgotten about the website. Because there's some things you need to take out, like a sample page. There's a sample page on the website that says, hi, this is a sample page. And so you need to take that out, okay?
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for that. Yeah, because you forget about it. It's like I've been so focused on the podcast and other things I do that the blog is like a forethought now.
Exactly. But if somebody comes, they're going to say, she's neglected.
Thanks, Sam. Yeah. I'll go today.
No, you do that. And also... and also take out the words, just another WordPress site.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
But that's the thing, at least I'm telling you. But no, I mean, look, this happens all the time, no big deal. If I thought it was, if it was serious, I would have told you off here. But no, this is funny. But you guys should check it out, because there's an awesome amount of articles and blog entries and stuff on getyourselfthejob.com. I see you have recent posts like, how can you tell when your career has passed its expiration date? Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a good idea. I wonder when I wrote that.
Right.
Yeah. How can you tell if your current job is hurting your overall career? My accidental Conan O'Brien appearance. There you go.
How did that happen? Oh my gosh, Conan, if you're listening, buddy, I owe you one. So I went with my mother-in-law to see a taping of the show, and her niece, as a gift, I'd bought tickets at a charity auction. And that day, I was in the midst of my book tour and was being booked on a bunch of shows, but I had not been booked on Conan. On my way that day to pick up my mother-in-law, one of the guys in my office said, Jen, bring a copy of your book. I'm like, Scott, I'm not being interviewed on the show. He said, you never know. And the irony was, it was right after Conan had not gotten the Tonight Show and had moved on to his own show. So as a gag, I signed the book to Conan. Good luck one day finding your dream job. That's hilarious.
I know, right? And then I had it in my purse. And so I'm sitting there at the show about to go in. As I'm about to go in, the PA, I say, hey, do you want to hand this to Conan? And she's like, you know what? He's so sweet. Sometimes he'll come in the audience after the show. Why don't you give it to him if he comes in the audience? 5 minutes, 55 seconds into his opening monologue, I shouldn't even say this on the air, he was making a joke about, have you heard about the new iPhone app that teaches men how to orally please their women? And I laughed. I have a very uproarious laugh. I was mortified. My clients are all AM100 law firms, Fortune 500 companies, camera pans to me. I tried to cover my face. I was like, oh God, oh, oh my God, all my clients are going to fire me over this. And then Conan is
That's so funny.
He points to me. It turned out into this whole back and forth about Conan making fun of me for laughing at the joke. He came into the audience to hug me. I'm like, oh, buddy, it's on. You just made fun of me on national TV. I handed him my book while hugging him with my book facing to the camera. Hand Conan the book. He's like, she gave me a book to sell. I thought we had a real human connection. So the whole bit is on YouTube. I think it has 700,000 hits. If you Google search audience sex app lady, not what I want to be known as.
That's hilarious.
But I got book sales from it because people paused in the one moment that Conan held up my book. And then that's why I kind of stopped.
And you see, and you can never plan something
you
like this,
right? You couldn't, no. Oh, my God. I was mortified.
Spend enough money. Yeah, but it went viral. And so it helped you, right?
Yeah,
it got you a lot of recognition.
I also got trolled, though. I did have some people who put it on Reddit. And I was getting mean phone calls because my info's on the website. So there were some people who hated me and wrote negative reviews about my book on Amazon. But in the long run, I can't complain. I was super grateful.
But why would they hate you? For what?
Because they thought that I was... Some people thought it was set up, which I don't know how we
So like you were trying to push your book?
Yeah, so some people... Really? But it all happened very organically. And so I was grateful, though. All things considered. And Conan was a doll after the show. He's like, oh my God, you're great. Don't worry. That was hilarious. So.
Yeah. What I want to know is, where do I get that app? I want to find that app.
Go call Conan about it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny.
Well, that's funny. Actually, I could write an app like that. I'm pretty... Yeah, if I do say so myself.
Oh my God, there went my loud laugh.
No, it's okay.
I'm blushing. Thank God nobody can see.
People come on the show to laugh. That's what it's about, you know. But no, I mean, this is the so you have the blog, getyourselfthejob.com, and you guys can also go to our website, to latalkradio.com, and look up Get Yourself the Job or Jennifer Hill, and you can find out more information on that. So now your staffing services, those are only for the legal field?
80% of our clients are law firms, so we work with most of the law firms in Southern California. We do have some contracts with hospitals, healthcare companies, so about 20 to 30% of our clients are corporate, non-legal clients, and we do pretty much everything but attorneys. I've placed a few attorneys, but we tend to refer that business out to somebody else, and I'm just so lucky because everything we do is referral-based.
Wow.
So, yeah, if you...
That's the ideal place to be, right? Yeah. I mean, that's where everybody wants to be, where you don't have to advertise, you don't have to chase after
clients. I've never advertised.
They come to you, right?
All my clients are friends, and I think my, again, I'm very grateful every single day for that. In fact, about 70% of our placements a year are referrals. We offer a $500 referral bonus if we place someone who you refer who's not in our system. So I don't advertise on Monster Career Builder. I pay about $30,000 a year to lay people who just refer me great folks.
Wow. Yeah. There you go, you know. So you're smart. Now, Jennifer, what did you do before this?
I literally started right out of college. I was fresh out of school. I graduated. This is funny. I graduated high school early, and then I graduated college early. And through an error, a clerical error, if you can believe this, it was like a nightmare that you wake up in a cold sweat with. I graduated from UC Irvine, and I was studying for the LSATs to go to law school. I moved up to LA with my boyfriend at the time, got a call after I walked with my school. Oops, you didn't graduate.
What?
You're missing a class from high school, U.S. History 101. I couldn't make this up if I wanted to. I took AP European History in lieu of U.S. History 101 and passed it.
Yeah.
And somehow or another, they missed it. And they said, Ms. Hill, we're not going to give you your diploma until either A, you come back to school for a semester, or B, you take a two-hour oral exam with the Dean of Social Sciences, pass or fail, on a 1,000-page book on U.S. History 101, and we're not even going to tell you what we're testing you on. So fortunately, I can memorize stuff.
Yeah.
And I was very lucky that the Dean of Social Sciences and I were friends. He gave me the two-hour exam. I passed. I could not apply for law school that year, which was the best thing that ever happened to me. I posted my resume on Monster, got three offers, one of which was to be a recruiter, and I would have never had this amazing job or company if it weren't for that mistake.
Wow. And then you decided you're going to start your own?
Well, that was interesting. It was an accident. Everything in life, it has been Conan, other things, happy accidents. Yeah. I recruited recruited from about 2004 to 2009 for law firms and real estate companies, IndyMac, Countrywide, Westfield, you name it. And I was very lucky. I made a lot of money at a very young age. However, the market crashed. And in 2008 and 9, entire divisions of companies, executive vice presidents all the way on down who I had placed, were laid off. And I take great responsibility in the people I place and get jobs for.
Right.
And so I felt really guilty.
Wow, It's like you feel responsibility for it.
Right.
And stuff.
Well, here's the funny thing. So this is the way this happy accident happened. I went to my current employer and I said, guys, why don't we open up a division of our company and I'll spearhead it and we'll coach all these job seekers back to getting employed while the economy's slow. And they said, Jay Hill, which is my nickname, that's a great idea, but it's too much work. Why don't you go open up your own company that does that? Huge mistake on their end. Because again, I never meant to open my own staffing firm. I opened up Jay Hill's Career Consulting Services and traveled the country, was part of a Pink Slip Mixers grassroots organization that helped job seekers get back to work. For one whole year, my competition called me and begged me to come to work. Jay Hill, please come to work. Jay Hill, everybody misses you. I'm like, I'm not important. I only have 5 years of experience. Long story short, eventually I went back to work for one of my competition for 3 months. Within the 3 months I was there, I had 10 times the same amount of clients I had had before, but I didn't necessarily jive with the way they did business. And my husband said, babe, why don't you just open your own staffing firm? I was like, okay, I had never thought of that. Yeah. And lo and behold, June 2010, it was an accident. Literally, it was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll just do this by myself. And it kind of boggles my mind now that I have a legitimate company with people who I really respect and admire.
Well, congratulations. You see, it's like people have a lot of people have a lot of potential in them that they don't realize or recognize,
and,
you know?
And I tell people this all the time. This is what I want any listeners out there to take away from today, at least from what I'm sharing, is that in life, sometimes crappy things are going to happen. And you may be angry or upset or why did this happen? Like me with a degree or what happened with my consulting company and how I wound up becoming a staffing firm. And sometimes you just have to be open to the greater good that's going to make itself available to you if you're not attached to what it looks like. Sometimes we get attached to people, to things, and it's just about letting go. And when you let go of attachments, everything unfolds for its greater good.
That's true. Absolutely. You know, and I know that in my past, I've learned not to attach myself to things because I had to move a lot early on in my life. And you try not to you realize you don't want to build roots that are too deep because you're going to be transplanted again.
One of the things I remember learning years ago, and this is what I work on teaching other people, is if you can be committed to an outcome, like 100% committed, but not attached to it, it is the most powerful place you can come from because you can be intentional that something's going to go the way you're intending.
Right.
But when you have a pre-made expectation, it becomes a resentment if you know, expect things to go a certain
way. That's true, yeah. So do the best. What you're saying is do the best you can and be happy with whatever you can achieve, rather than beat yourself up that I didn't achieve this particular thing.
Or that it didn't look the way you expected it to look.
Okay.
And if we can learn to let go of those attachments, life is in the flow, it's easy and effortless, and everything works out.
Very cool, yeah. And if we can take another thing from the show is that even a bitch can be a nice person eventually.
Right? You all have hope out there.
Exactly. There
just ask my husband. It only took him 11 years to get the wife he wanted.
Wow, that's a long time. You stuck around, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Exactly.
Man, I stuck around for 12 years with a bulldozer myself, you know?
Yeah, for the listeners out there, one last thing I will tell you is there's a great woman out there named Allison Armstrong who I teach her principles in business, and I did her class 3 years ago. It's about celebrating men, satisfying women, about having healthier men and women relationships personally and professionally. And I attribute a lot of my personal success and professional success to her books and to her teaching. She does PAX programs, P-A-X, and I cannot recommend Allison Armstrong's classes enough.
Wow, very cool. Jennifer Hill, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
so again,
you,
how
thank
can people Kelsey. Find you on social networks and stuff? You mentioned LinkedIn. That's a very... You see, we didn't even cover half of what... So you're going to have to come back, Jennifer. Okay,
okay,
I still want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about the Kabbalah still and all this stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff that we can talk about her. I mean, Jennifer, just from talking to her... No, just from talking to her for 5 minutes the other day, I realized that there's so many things that she's into that it's very interesting. And that's why I invited you on the show. You know,
Thank you, Sam.
Well, of course.
I'm very happy to be here. And yes, if you want to find me on social networks, you can find me at Jay Hill, J-H-I-L-L, Recruiter on Twitter. And then on LinkedIn, feel free to connect with me. It's Jennifer K. Hill. And I think it's J. Hill Recruiter as well on Instagram if you're looking for me there.
Awesome. And just quickly, so you've been married for 11 years, you said?
I've been with my husband for 11 years, married
for
8.
And do you have kids or anything?
I have a fluffy white dog who's my love bunny. And we have to get my husband on the show because we do this thing called Conversations with My Husband, where that's going to be one of my next books. My husband's hilarious. And so, for example, what was it? Oh, the other day. Remember when I told you I was having that girls' night and the power went out? So my husband was really bitter because I took our mountain house and he wasn't allowed to be there because it was a girls' weekend. So I call my husband and I'm like, baby, I need your help. He's like, what? I was like, well, I need you to help me figure out how to turn on the grill. And he's like, you want to know how to turn on the grill? I was like, yeah. He's like, invite men to your girls' weekend.
There you go. And on that note, Jennifer Hill, thank you so much for joining
us. Sam.
Everybody check out our show Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific time, right here on LA Talk Radio Channel 1. Get yourself the job. Kelsey, nice to have you back.
Yes.
Thanks for always joining us. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.